Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I have to admit that this is not what I expected. Matthew's story of the resurrection of our Lord, I mean. We've been reading through Matthew's gospel since the beginning of the new year, grateful for the power and promise of the name he applies to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and for his focus on discipleship as we seek to better follow our Lord. Which is why it's a little disconcerting to finally get to his account of that first Easter morning and discover that, well, that it's a bit of a confusing mess. Which might be why that, to the best of my knowledge, Matthew's gospel has never been read on Easter Sunday before at Mount Olivet, and why across the whole of my career, I have never preached on it. It's like Matthew can't quite decide which details to share about the story, and he shares a number that none of the other evangelists do, but he also seems at points almost to be working at cross purposes. I mean, on the one hand, the message delivered by the angels is clear, succinct, and compelling. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. This message, do not be afraid, is in many ways the hallmark of good news. Announced across the scriptures by angels and messengers at key moments of tension, fear, and drama in the biblical story, it always heralds the life-giving and empowering word of courage and confidence rooted in what God has done for us. That is the very essence of the gospel. At the same time, though, and on the other hand, Matthew also paints what is for sure the most alarming and awe-inspiring, if not downright fear-inducing, picture of the resurrection of all four Gospels. First, there is an earthquake that none of the other evangelists mention, and that seems almost like an echo and complement to the quake that erupted when Jesus died. Next, only in Matthew's Gospel do we read that when the women arrive on the scene to pay their respects, the stone is still there, blocking the tomb. And so Matthew tells us, again, the only one of the four Gospels, that an angel of the Lord descends and rolls back the stone. Moreover, the angel's appearance isn't just striking, with face like lightning and clothing whiter than even the strongest detergent could get them, but actually terrifying. And so the guards at the tomb, another feature of the story distinct to Matthew, the guards immediately faint in terror. No wonder these women are afraid. And no wonder the angel then first speaks words of comfort and courage. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Of course, it doesn't stop there. After the fear and after the words of courage comes a command. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you. And they do. They come and see, and then they run and tell. And Matthew shares that their obedience was tinged by a mixture of emotions, writing, so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Did you catch that? Fear and great joy. You don't often find those two things placed side by side. They seem so different, if not just plain opposite. And throwing them together like Matthew does is for sure a little confusing and a little messy. And maybe, just maybe, that is Matthew's point all along. I mean, isn't that often our reality? Don't we also live lives tinged by both fear and joy? And not only these two, but also grief and hope, doubt and faith. Grief over the toll this pandemic has taken and fear of knowing that it's not over yet, but also joy as more and more folks receive vaccines and hope that the end is in sight. Fear of what may happen to our children or grandchildren in a dangerous world, and yet also joy for the blessing they are to us and we hope in time will be for the world. Fear about the fate of a loved one struggling with illness. Joy for all that this person has been and will be for us. fear about the future of our country amid attacks on the very structures of our government, and grief over manifold injustice, and yet still joy and thanksgiving that we live in one of the greatest and longest-lasting democracies in the history of the world, tinged also with hope and confidence that the long arc of history of this country, too, will in time bend toward justice. I think it is so striking that the announcement of resurrection doesn't take away the fear of these first disciples. Rather, it enables them to keep faith amid their fears, to obey the command of the angels, and to share the good news in spite of their very understandable anxiety. And to me, this is the very definition of courage, not the absence of fear, but the ability to do what's required, to take care of those around you, even when you're afraid. And I would argue that courage is just what Easter is all about. Look, I know that some Christian leaders will preach and teach that coming to faith in Christ should smooth out all the rough places of life and still all the tremors in the world. But I believe instead that the gospel gives us the ability to keep our feet amid the tremors and enables us not just to persevere, but actually to flourish, even when life is most difficult. Do not be afraid. This charge, repeated again by Jesus when he encounters these women, gives us insight into the very nature of our lives in this world, because there is for sure so much to fear and grieve in our mortal lives, and yet the resurrection of Christ creates the possibility for joy and hope and courage and so much more. Why? Because it changes everything. In the resurrection, you see, we have God's promise that life is stronger than death, that love is greater than hate, that mercy overcomes judgment, and that all the suffering and difficulties and disappointments of this life do not last forever. Yes, and make no mistake, the difficulties and loss of our lives is real and palpable and sometimes painful for sure. The last year has proven that over and over again. But these things do not have the last word and do not represent the final reality. And over the last year, we have also experienced evidence of God's presence in healing and victory time and time again. Fear and joy, loss and hope, doubt and faith, these capture the two sides of our life in this world. But in the end, we have heard the resurrection promise that joy, hope, and faith will ultimately prevail, and that makes all the difference. One of the great biblical scholars of the last century, writing just a few years after the conclusion of the Second World War, once compared the life of the Christian to the situation of those Allied soldiers living and fighting between D-Day, the day the Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy, and VE, Victory in Europe Day, when the Nazis surrendered once and for all. Once the Allies had landed successfully on the beaches of Normandy, you see, their ultimate victory was assured. But there were, of course, months of fighting left, and during this time, these soldiers would continue to give of their strength and their limbs and their lives. But what a difference to give one's strength, limbs, and lives in the cause of victory and freedom rather than defeat. In the same way, we live between Christ's resurrection that Matthew tells us today and Christ's return at the end of time, which means that our lives are also filled by struggle. But it is a struggle infused by the hope and promise of God's eventual triumph. Confident that Jesus has been raised and is out ahead of us, beckoning us forward with courage and confidence until that day when we meet our God face to face. Our story in the world, as individuals, families, a congregation, a community, our story isn't over yet, but we have seen its ending. And its ending is one of victory. So while the story isn't over, we know its ending. And knowing that makes all the difference. This has been such a hard year. So much has come at us that we never expected, and we know it's not yet over. So yes, there's still reason for grief and uncertainty and fear in our lives. And at times our lives too might feel a bit like a confusing mess, which is why Matthew shares just this story for us. For in the middle of all of the challenges, yet we find cause for joy, trusting that while we may not know the way we are going or the paths we will walk, yet we have the promise that it is the resurrected Christ ahead of us, guiding and leading us and granting us courage and hope sufficient for all the challenges of this day. So, dear people of Mount Olivet, as the angel said to the women at the tomb all those years ago, so I say to you now, do not fear. For Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and this makes all the difference. Thanks be to God. Amen.